Miss Judy and I have been gone for a few days, and folks have been telling me they're glad to see me. One person even said, it's not the same without you here. So I'm feeling the love today, and I'm glad to be here and glad to be able to worship with our favorite church. My favorite church, and Miss Judy's favorite church. We spent a few days in Florida, but we're glad to be back home. I wanted to preach. I've been thinking about this and praying about it for several weeks now, and I wanted to preach on about the new birth. But the Holy Spirit said a couple of days ago, you need to understand who's in charge here. And so I won't be preaching on new birth. I'll do that some other time. But he called my attention to this text in John chapter 12. And beginning there with verse 20. It says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. More than likely, that's the feast of the Passover. And folks were gathering into Jerusalem. The same, the Greeks, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I want you to remember that phrase. This was their request to Philip. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, this story is only recorded in the book of John. It's not in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it is the first hint in the New Testament that the gospel is not just exclusive to the Jews or to any race or any class of people, but that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the whole world. And these Greeks who had come to Jerusalem had heard, no doubt, about Jesus. They had heard probably about the miracles that he had performed and the things that he had taught. Jesus had caused such a stir wherever he went that his presence could not be ignored. And so the news spread far and wide, and these Greeks may even have heard about him in their home, and this may have been the reason that they made the journey to Jerusalem. But nevertheless, they were curious about Jesus, and the Jews were, or the Greeks were notorious for wanting to learn about new things, anything new. They wanted to check it out. They wanted to find out what it was all about. They had a tremendous curiosity. And so they had come to Philip, asking him to take them to Jesus. They said to Philip, Sir, we would see Jesus. And so here is Philip, one of the 12 disciples, who knew Jesus because he had spent time with him, much time with him. He had seen his miracles. He had heard what he taught. He had felt his touch. He had ate with him. He had traveled with him. And so here's a man who knew Jesus. And one of the reasons probably that the Greeks came to Philip and not to some of the others was because Philip is a Greek name, and they probably felt a little kinship to him and a little more comfortable with him. And so they came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip seems to that he didn't know what to do when they said, "We would see Jesus." He may have had in mind that maybe Jesus was just for the Jewish nation. He may have been confused about that, but at any rate, he didn't seem to know what to do when they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And so he went to Andrew, one of the other disciples, and then he and Andrew went on and took these Greeks to Jesus. It's similar in some ways to what happened in Mark chapter 2 when four men had a friend who was crippled. And they decided they were going to take him to Jesus. They had heard Jesus was in town. They decided they were going to get him to Jesus. And so they took him to a house where Jesus was teaching, and they couldn't get in. The house was full. People standing in the doors and in the windows even. But that didn't stop them. They wanted to get this man to Jesus, and so they climbed up on the roof and took the tiles off the roof and let this man down in the presence of Jesus. And this man, not only was he healed, but he was forgiven of his sins. Jesus said, "Take up thy bed and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And, of course, he got in a lot of trouble with the legalistic Pharisees over that. And he said to them, "Well, which one's easier to say, be healed, or thy sins be forgiven thee?" And so he forgave this man of his sins. So this is kind of similar. These four men knew that they couldn't fix this man, this crippled man. They knew that he couldn't fix himself, but they knew somebody who could. And so that's why they took him to Jesus. Now, as I think about these Greeks requesting to see Jesus, I can understand how they thought, I can understand how they felt at this moment, and even why they were curious, and what they needed. I think I can understand what they needed when they requested to see Jesus. Because they needed the same thing that every one of us needs. They were in the same condition every one of us is in. They were broken. Just like we not only were broken, but we're still broken in some sense. And so they needed to get to Jesus. They realized they were broken. Fanny Crosby said it this way in the song that you're probably familiar with called "Rescue the Perishing." And she described it like this. She said, "Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more." They were broken. They wanted to see Jesus. They wondered if maybe Jesus might just be the answer to what they needed. Well, I want to tell you this morning that back in 1965, that seems like a century ago to you, but hadn't been that long to me. Back in 1965, I wanted to see Jesus. I didn't know why. I didn't understand it, but I wanted to see Jesus. It didn't make sense to me because I was comfortable. I was and carefree. I had a comfortable and carefree life in many ways. I was having some fun in life, enough to at least to entertain me a little bit. I had enough money that I thought I could buy a little happiness. But somehow, in the midst of it all, I began to feel unrest. You ever felt that? I began to feel uneasy. I felt empty. Although I had all these things, and I began to feel something I'd never felt before. I felt guilt for my sins. I previously had been able to sin without any remorse at all, because I was having so much fun, I thought. But now my sins began to make me feel guilty for what I was doing, the way I was living. Back in those days, they called it Holy Ghost conviction. And I tell you what, it's still Holy Ghost conviction when that takes place. I tried a multitude of things to pacify my emptiness. I tried a lot of things to fix the problem that I had, but nothing filled that empty place in my life. Nothing that I tried satisfied my hunger. I was at that point in my life. I was an unsaved, baptized, voted in church member. You heard me right. I was an unsaved, baptized, voted in church member. I had experienced the ordinances. I'd been baptized. I'd taken communion. I'd had all the trappings of religion. I'd been brought up in church, and so I was a very, I guess you'd call me, I know a lot of religious people that live like the devil, don't you? They totally disregard what God's Word clearly says and live the way they please and still call themselves a Christian. That's who I was. But something was missing. My spirit was hungry. My soul was thirsty. It was kind of like Zacchaeus when he heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he decided he wanted to see him. He's a little short fellow like me, and he decided that he at least wanted to see Jesus. So he climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus noticed him, and the Bible says that he stopped and called Zacchaeus down, even went home to eat dinner with him, and got right with God. Why? Because he saw Jesus. It's kind of like blind Bartimaeus as well. The Bible says that as Jesus passed through Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the wayside. And when he heard that it was Jesus passing by, he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he didn't just say it once, he said it several times. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he just kept on and kept on until finally those around him said, "Be quiet, hush. He's a busy man. He's got things to do. He doesn't have time to fool with you." But Jesus heard him. And Jesus stopped and he said, "Bring that man to me." And the Bible tells us that Jesus gave him back his sight. He wanted to see Jesus. It's kind of like the woman with the issue of blood as well. The Bible says that this woman had tried to find healing. She had visited every physician or every witch doctor or whatever to try to find help, because she had an issue of blood. She was bleeding and couldn't get the bleeding stopped. But she, after she had spent everything she had, and done everything she knew to do, she was, the Bible said, she was worse off than she was to begin with. And she heard Jesus was passing through her neighborhood, and she made up her mind she wanted to see Jesus. She wanted to at least touch him, and maybe she'd be healed. Well, you know the story. She pressed her way to Jesus and just touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says she was made whole. It's kind of like Nicodemus. He'd heard about Jesus. Here's a man who was a ruler among the Jews, a very important man in the community. And the Bible says that he wanted to see Jesus as well. And so he went to find Jesus after dark one day. We don't know why he waited till then, but he did. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said to this man, when he spoke in flattering ways to Jesus, he didn't actually come out and express his need, but Jesus saw his need. And he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Before you ever see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus saw Jesus, and his life was never the same. Well, I wanted to see Jesus. And I did. I saw him. And he became my Savior. And I've never been the same. And I don't want to ever be the same. I don't ever want to go back to the life I lived when I thought I was having fun, but I was hungry in my soul. So I wanted to see Jesus. And I tell you what, I still want to see Jesus. I'm not through yet. I never get enough of him. I don't think I ever will get enough of him. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Philip Tipton called me a couple of days ago, and he said, sometimes he'll just call and he'll say, "I don't need anything, I just want to talk." And he said, he started talking about how he had been reading through the Bible. And he said, "I've been reading John 4. And he said, "There are some things I just don't understand." He said, "There are some things I do, but some things I just don't understand that I'm reading." And so I shared with him how Miss Judy and I had a conversation just a few days earlier when we were doing our devotions together. And she said, "How many times do you think we've read through the Bible in the last few years?" I said, "Well, I don't know." But I said, "Probably 10 times at least in the last 10 years. And I told Philip, but I said, "Here's what," and Miss Judy and I continued to talk about it. And I said, "You know, every time," I said to Miss Judy, "every time we read through it, every time I read through it, I see something I'd never seen before. It's a fascinating book. There are treasures there that are, they're not hidden, it's just that we're not ready to receive it yet." And I said to Philip, I said, "I understand more today than I've ever understood. I see Jesus more clearly today than I've ever seen him before. My eyes, my spiritual eyes are more open than ever before." And so I still want to see Jesus. When I wake up, I want to see Jesus. Don't you? You ever say, "Good morning, Lord"? You ever do that? Y'all try it sometime. Might change your day. I want to see Jesus when I wake up. I even want to see Jesus in the shower. Now, You might want to poke your mind's eye out after that. But I even worship in the shower. You know, if you could see in there, and I hope you never do, I'd have my hands in the air sometimes praising God. It's a good place to see Jesus. I see Jesus when I pray. Thank God. I see Jesus when I go to sleep at night. Sometimes I go to sleep at night going over passages of Scripture, and I see Jesus. I feel His presence. And I hear His voice sometimes even when I'm dreaming. While we were in Florida, I woke up one morning and I realized I'd been having the same dream three nights in a row. And I told Miss Judy, I said, I've dreamed about the same Scripture three nights in a row. And I told her what it was. It was Acts 24:16, where the Bible says, where Paul says, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And then another passage I was dreaming about was in Acts chapter 20, where Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, I want you to know that my hands are clean of the blood of all men, because I have not neglected to preach the whole counsel of God. So that's what I was dreaming about. I dreamed about it three nights in a row. Same Scripture. So I see Jesus when I dream. I see Jesus when I go to church, especially when I come to church here. I tell you what, I've been in some churches. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but there's one church down in Florida we visited at least half a dozen times, and I'm not bashing churches. I'm just telling you a fact. We visited many churches looking for a church where you can feel the presence of God. And there's this little church that we've tried at least half a dozen times. And one last time I think we were there, we went out and got in the car and started to leave. And I turned to Miss Judy and I said, if I had to go to that church every Sunday, I'd shoot myself. Because when I go to church, I want to feel the presence of God. I want to see Jesus when I come to church. When I worship, I want to see Jesus. When I preach, I want to see Jesus, and I want you to see Jesus. Pastor Thomas and I were at Pastor's Fellowship in Winchester, Kentucky, a few weeks ago, first part of May, I think it was, and he and some other folks were up on the platform going over some music, and I was sitting almost in the back, nobody else much in there, and I had a book, I was reading it, and I looked up and over to the corner behind me, it was the back corner of the sanctuary, and here was a big, huge poster-like sketch of Jesus in the corner. It was so big you could see it for a long way. And then I looked over and here's one in this corner. And I thought, well, I wonder why that's there. And then I remembered Robert Murray McShane, I believe was his name, a great preacher of days gone by. They said that he had a great heart for people and loved the Lord. And he had engraved on his pulpit that so that when he got up to preach every service, that the first thing he saw were these words: we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And I thought, that must be the reason Alan Hutchison, who's the pastor, that must be the reason he has those sketches of Jesus back there, reminding him that his congregation wants to see Jesus. Hey, I want to see Jesus. Do you? I want to know him better. I want to trust him more. I want to be more like him. Bible says, eyes have not seen it, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. That's true for you as well as it is for me. You know, we miss the whole point of public worship. And I know there are folks who are not used to openly and unashamedly worshiping God, even in the church of God. And they're a little uncomfortable about it. They're a little uncomfortable when other folks are worshiping more freely than they do. Some even get upset over it. But I tell you what, we miss the whole point of public worship if we fail to see him. And if you came this morning and you have not seen him yet, then you've missed the whole point of public worship. And you're missing something that God wants you to have. He wants you to know his presence. I love one of the songs that that Thomas and the worship team sing. And it just simply says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He makes the darkness tremble. He makes the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. I still want to see him. And I want others to see him in me. Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Got that, Bill? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the mystery of the gospel, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Get hold of that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world needs to see Jesus in you. Lost people need to see Jesus in you. In me. And we need to make sure that our actions and our words don't keep people from seeing Jesus in us. A lot of times, they distract from Jesus and don't allow people to see Jesus in us because of the way we act, the words that we speak, the attitudes that we have, the sour spirit that we have sometimes. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians chapter 1, verse 27. Or not Galatians, Genesis. First book in the Bible even. Says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. All that's important. God stamped us with his image. And because he wants the world to see his love. He wants the world to see his son. And we need to always be, as believers, we need to always be at our best for Jesus' sake. Because people all around us are watching and searching for hope for a better life. And they need to see Jesus in us. They need to see a peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I want others to see Jesus in me. Dawson Trotman was a man who lived several years, several decades ago now. And Dawson came to know Christ as his Savior, and God gave him a burden for others. And so he started an organization called the Navigators. That was one of the best, and still is one of the best discipleship programs that exists. And Dawson Trotman wrote a little pamphlet. It's a little small 27-page book, and if it was in a regular size book, it wouldn't be over a half a dozen pages. And it was titled "Born to Reproduce." And his point is that every born-again believer is born to reproduce. If you and I are healthy spiritually, if we're a believer and we're healthy spiritually, then we ought to be reproducing others. And if we're not reproducing, that means we're not spiritually healthy. If you are a child of God, you've been born again, you're healthy, you're growing spiritually, then you're going to have spiritual children. And not only that, you're going to have spiritual grandchildren. And not only that, you're going to have spiritual great-grandchildren and spiritual great-great-grandchildren and spiritual great-great-great-grandchildren if you are a child of God. And if you're seeing Jesus and the world seeing Him in you, you're born to reproduce. You're born spiritually to reproduce. And for others to see Jesus in us, we must see Jesus. We must see Jesus on a regular basis, not just every once in a while when our emotions are stirred, but every day that we live. Here back in the fall, I was in the hospital overnight, and the doctors and nurses that came in to take care of me, every time one would come in for the first time, they would, first thing they'd say when they walked in the door, they'd say, "You sure don't look your age." And they meant that that is a good thing. You sure don't look your age. And because they had a hard time believing that I was an 80-year-old man. And so when they would make comments like that, it gave me an opportunity to... what I tried to do was shine the spotlight on Jesus. It ain't about me. It's about Him. And I try to stay fit because I want people to see Jesus in me, and I want Him to get all the glory. Every year that God gives me, I want to give back to Him. And when they say Shipley has passed on one day, I want them to say, "But boy, God was good to him. God blessed him. God kept him healthy." Listen, I just want to be the best I can for Jesus. I want to finish strong. I don't want to just fade away. I want to finish strong. Oh, I want to see Him. I want to see Jesus more than anything. I'm not done, but I'm probably out of time, so I'll quit. Why don't you all stand with me, and I'll talk to you another 15 minutes.